The Good Liars.
The Good Liars.
This is boring.
We're boring.
I will die standing in my boots.
Herschel, I got you some condoms.
What made everyone so weird and sad that they had to come out here?
Oh, Mr. President, welcome to the show.
We are the Good Liars, and we are going to tell the truth. Trust us. Welcome to the Good Liars Tell the Truth. I am Jason Selvig.
And I'm DeVram Stiefler, and we are the Good Liars.
And we may be the Good Liars, but on this show, we are going to tell the truth. And wow, what a year this last week was. An attempted assassination attempt on Donald Trump, a truly batshit crazy Republican National Convention, and Joe Biden announcing he is ending his campaign, paving the way for Kamala Harris to be the Democratic nominee. We're going to dive into all of that. But before we do it, DeVram, I got to ask you a question. We've had all these like historic events happen in the last 10 days. What's next? What's your prediction for the next huge thing that's going to happen?
I think we're going to discover a large under the ocean city that is, has
like
been operating.
Like Atlantis.
But the thing that I think is going to be interesting about this Atlantis-like discovery is that people are going to be fighting over votes from this area. It's going to actually play a pivotal role in the election.
Okay, from the people of Atlantis, or like this is going to be a big issue that's going to affect the election?
I think from the people of Atlantis, they're going to be people are going to need these votes. It's going to be about 40 million people.
Okay, all right. That's a big prediction.
Yeah.
Mine is aliens. It's the only logical next step.
Yeah.
Like, it's going to be aliens. We're going to discover it. They're going to like make contact with us, maybe destroy a mid-sized city or two. That's my prediction. I'm going on the record. And that's going to happen in the next 7 days.
Whoa.
We really should be selling some like Alex Jones supplements or alien gear, whatever.
I love that. I would love to beef up our store a little bit with some alien gear and some survival stuff, right? You're saying they're going to attack us. You're going to need to be able to survive in your bunker for a minimum 5 to 10 years, probably, right?
And if you're going to want to survive in your bunker, you're going to need a Good Liars t-shirt, and you can get that at goodliarsstore.com. Was that sound at all like Alex Jones?
It's good. You got to run with it. That's great.
All right, let's dive into it. The events of the last couple weeks. Whew, it has been a doozy. All right, let's get into historical event number one, DeVram. Mm-hmm. The assassination attempt.
The what?
Assassination attempt. Did I say it weird?
No, I just can't believe it happened.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we were there. We were in Butler, PA before the assassination attempt on Donald Trump. We left, you know, over an hour before it happened. Just a wild thing that feels like it was so long ago now. It really does.
It's just been shoveled on top of it. So it feels like this like distant past thing. And I've never been so thankful that we have that policy of leaving before Trump speaks. I thought it was because he's a little bit boring. We've heard it before. Tensions seem to like rise during his speeches, believe it or not. The sound is bad. There's like no reason for us to stick it out and wait through one of these speeches. And now, I mean, given what happened, I'm glad we had that policy.
It's a great policy. I think everyone should have that policy, including his own supporters.
His own supporters. But he should be speaking to zero people when he's there.
But we should say, though, we have stuck around for his speeches sometimes, and like a good number of people leave while he's speaking because they're like, oh, I saw him. I can say I saw him. I'm getting the hell out of here.
Plus, it's so long. It's like a marathon. They get there like 6 hours before he speaks. They got to stand in line. They can't bring their chairs in. A lot of them bring a cool sign they're not allowed to bring in that says, like, you know, fuck someone on it. Fuck Joe Biden, usually. And they're like, yeah, you can't bring that. And they got to go back to their car. And they've had six beers by this time, six Miller Lights, not Bud Lights.
You tweeted this the other day, but it's like, it's very, you know, it's kind of sad for all these merch people who had all the Let's Go Brandon, the Fuck Joe Biden, all the stuff that's like, you know, peeing on Joe, but like the terrible shirts that you see. Now it's like those shirts are kind of worthless. Like, who cares about those shirts anymore? No one's going to be buying those shirts anymore.
Right. I was trying to think about what I tweeted. I was saying there's a lot of classy bumper stickers that are having to be scraped off cars right now.
Yeah.
The thing is whatever they're replaced with will be even less classy. I'm sure of it.
I think it might have a little sexism in it.
Sexism.
As well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Misogyny. Maybe that's just a
just
look,
given
that's
what
just
we've
a
seen
prediction.
At these rallies. You're not advocating. You're just saying. You're just this is an evidence based opinion.
So we were there. We were in Butler, and we, you know, left before there was some tension. We got the Trump campaign. Somebody from the campaign recognized us and ended up telling a line full of people who we were, or that we were bad guys, quote unquote bad guys. Ended up getting yelled at by hundreds of Trump supporters.
Everyone in
line
being like, yeah. Liberals, fake news. I don't think they had any idea who we are. But the idea that there was like liberals in their midst was upsetting enough. People were just like flipping off the camera. It was hot.
I got wet.
Yeah.
I got somebody threw
some
water
at
me.
Thrown at you.
And the person I was interviewing at the time, which I thought.
But just to set the scene a little bit more, it was like oppressively hot. So tensions are high, and it's also like steam coming off the asphalt, like in like all around us. It was like, not that we could have ever predicted anything like what happened, but it certainly had the makings of like a tense experience.
Yes, yes. And so we left the rally, like we said early. We were eating dinner at Texas Roadhouse, which I know is your favorite place in the world now. You've made me go there again since then.
Yeah, okay. I wanted to be sure and mention that. So we're at Texas Roadhouse, but I want to say the reason we were at Texas Roadhouse, not the only reason. One reason is that I love it, and I think they do a great job there. I like when they sing Texas-style happy birthday to people. It's like Cold Stone Creamery, but if you can get a whole friggin' dinner there. You know when they sing for the tip?
I don't know that at Cold Stone.
Yeah, they're like,
that.
They'll sing for the tip. They'll hit the like spatulas on the counter. You got to go to Cold Stone.
Having worked in service, I find it demeaning and terrible to watch because some of those people
having
bad
worked
days
in
and
service, I appreciate the opportunities people have to really shine.
Okay.
We went to Texas Roadhouse because we've been so overwhelmingly disappointed by the shitty food at Primanti Brothers. Any of you locals
I'm not taking part
there,
in this because you know me, I'm ever the politician. I know that this is like loved by people
so
in Pittsburgh.
Bad.
It was so underwhelming. Bad.
So you're going to put fries on a sandwich and then fries, the thing that's bad about fries is if they get soggy. That's just what it is. That's when they're bad. So then you're going to put coleslaw on the hot sandwich and the fries. These people should be shut down. And not just the one we went to. I mean, all of them.
All right. Well, I have nothing negative or positive to say about it. I am playing down the middle here. I'm trying to get that.
That must feel really good. You must sleep
that
well.
Suburban vote. I'm not going to try and mess that up.
Yeah. So that being said, we're at Texas Roadhouse where we know we can get a good meal.
Okay. Maybe I should take the next part of this because you've just gone on a 5-minute monologue on food and we're about to talk about something very serious.
Sure.
So I'm just going to change the tone here for 1 second.
Sure.
So we're sitting at Texas Roadhouse. You see it on your phone that somebody had tried to shoot Trump. We saw the videos of it. I thought it was fake when it first happened. And we both are kind of sitting there shell-shocked. And I remember we said this. We recorded a podcast on this earlier, and it was the day after it happened. And it was just like what we said sitting there at Texas Roadhouse, we both said everything has changed. This has changed not only the election, but the landscape of the United States of America. And this is a defining moment in our history. Now we're sitting here a week and a half since that happened. I feel like we couldn't be more wrong. It feels like nothing has changed. Like this was an opportunity for change, but nothing happened. Especially when we're talking about the RNC, which we were at, how fucking weird that was. But do you feel like our first instincts there were just flat out wrong? Because that's how I feel. That's a leading question because that's how I feel.
Way wrong. This is one of those photos from the moment. This is Trump pumping his fist. And this is a quote just in a couple of maybe yesterday or recently. This is a recent quote. The Biden-Harris administration did not properly protect me, and I was forced to take a bullet for democracy. It was my great honor to do so.
Jesus Christ.
To get to what you said, we thought everything had changed, but I almost think Trump like did something. The Trump campaign maybe almost kind of made a mistake. Like he was so resilient that he was like at the RNC, you know, 2 days later, he had a rally 1 week from the day that it happened. It was almost like he tried to be such a tough guy about it that he underplayed it, and people on his own side and on the other side of the political aisle are like, oh, well, I guess it's business as usual. We're back to normal. Like he started tweeting all the crazy shit. Like it's only been a few days. It feels like it's been ages. And I think people got over it for that reason. He signaled to people that they should get over it. What do you
think? Yeah, I think that's definitely how it feels like now. And also, let's just like one more thing I want to say about the assassination attempt before moving on to like where we are now a little bit is like such, we were like shell-shocked from it. We were actually shell-shocked from it. It's very weird to be someplace, be talking to people, and then have an assassination attempt happen and have somebody like die, have somebody die right there, and yeah, have other people be injured. It's just like, the emotions we feel, and like really obviously we feel for the people who are affected by it. Like it is a terrible thing that happened. And now Donald Trump is kind of just being himself again. And we saw that with the RNC, which we're gonna move to next. But Devar, did you want to talk about some of the conspiracy theories and things like that? I bit my tongue again, guys. I have to say this.
Oh no. It's a running thing.
Yes, I bit it earlier today, and it's like on the tip of my tongue. I bit it. So the assassination is actually very hard for me to say right now.
Because I'm your tongue all bit up in your mouth. I'm so sorry about that.
Yes, but I'm doing it for democracy. I'm staying through here.
I want to ask you, did you have a moment where did you have a weak moment for Trump where you thought it was pretty cool that he got up and pumped his fist? Did it make you feel patriotism? Did red American blood course through your veins for a second?
Look, I never, like, I thought it, well, you couldn't have, like, had a more defiant reaction.
Right.
And I think we both were like, holy shit. You know, and I think that's where a lot of these conspiracy theories from the left came from, where they're like, this has to be a setup. This has to be this. This can't be real because there's no way that Donald Trump that I know, that I think is this terrible coward, there's no way he would get up and like pump his fist like that with blood on his face and like look kind of like badass. There's no way that would happen, but it did. And that's just reality. So All these dumb conspiracy theories, like saying it was staged and all that stuff, which there's just no evidence that that's true.
Right. Some of these things where it's like he touches the podium and then he has blood on his hand. So it had to be a thing that the blood was already on the podium, or saying that it was intended for the bullet to miss in this way, or there was a small, I saw one that there was a small like explosive placed on his ear or something. It's like, guys, what's more likely? What the fuck is more likely?
You imagine that goes off like at the wrong time, you know?
Goes off at the wrong time, or kills him, and the story comes out Trump has explosive placed on his head that kills him.
It's like, it would just be funny. It's like, okay, Mr. Trump, here's the plan. Here we go. This is what we're going to do. Okay, sounds great. This guy's like a germaphobe
and like doesn't want it. He's like, yeah.
We're just going to blow part of your ear off or whatever.
Put a bomb on my head.
There was a thing that was trending right afterwards. It was like Vince McMahon, because, you know, wrestling, which we're going to get to more wrestling later, because now it's in an effort to ruin my life. More wrestlers are showing up at Republican events. But there was a Vince McMahon was trending. It is all about me. Thank you. And that's the one thing. After the assassination attempt, I was like thinking about the country. And
you were like, wrestlers, don't start showing up to these events. I got too much
of my
childhood riding on this.
And adulthood. Let's just be honest, teenage years as well. But there was a theory that he, like, wrestlers, like, when they'll get hit in the head with a chair and then they'll cut themselves with a razor blade to bleed.
Obviously.
You know, it's called blading. Yeah. Yeah, that's the lingo. And there was a theory, like, it was trending on Twitter that he, like, had cut himself with a razor blade in there, which I'm like, I can't picture Donald
Guys,
Trump doing.
I feel like we both had this reaction. It's like, just leave that up to the, like, January 6th people. Like, don't follow down the road of January 6th was Antifa. What makes more sense? The thing that looks obvious or the wild conspiracy theories that are easily proven wrong?
Yes.
Don't look stupid.
And we also want to say that this also was coming from the right wing as well. But it's a little more obvious that it would come from there, that there's conspiracies that it's the deep state and all this, and people are jumping to conclusions, including J.D. Vance, which is, you know, just wild that he would say that when we knew nothing about the shooter. And we still don't know a lot after going through his phone. But yeah, so there's a lot of conspiracy theories, but now no one's really even talking about it anymore. I guess the Secret Service director resigned, so...
Trump is so tough that he got back to campaigning right after. He attended the RNC with no delay. I think he shot himself in the foot, if you will. Poor choice of...
Yeah, I don't know about that.
But I think, like, it would have made sense strategically to, like, not gloss over this so quickly, because it was a wild thing to have happen, and it feels like it's been ages ago. Yes. Do you think this changed him at all? I mean, a near-death experience? Do you think this, like, think he has had a moment that to recalibrate? Or from what you've seen of him the last few days, is he 100% unchanged by this event?
I don't know. Look, if somebody goes through something like that, even Donald Trump, I'm not going to discount what that experience would have, how that experience would affect you, you know? But... I will say, this is a guy who is very egotistical, and now he's got not just like 20% of his supporters saying he was chosen by God and that he's like divine in some way. Now he has like 60 to 70% of them saying that, and he's going to start believing that at some point. And like, he's obviously not a religious guy. What's so weird, we just talked about him getting shot. My ear has been itching.
Do you have to be religious to believe that you yourself are God?
I guess you would have to, yeah. I think so.
Because I'm not sure if this is exactly what you're saying, but I think his ego is so inflated that, like, that's why, like, his defiance is not for America. His defiance is that moment, the moment that he wanted that picture. Like, it's in service of his ego. Like, he knows how to take an opportunity because he wants the great publicity. Like, I think that feeds himself. But I that thought did occur to me that, like, he must be buying into this in a way that he never has before. Like, how special he is. He must himself be buying into him to a degree that he hasn't previously, which is crazy for someone with
his ego. He's got pictures of himself all over his clubs. He's got made up like Time magazine covers that don't exist.
So
like,
could it get more extreme? I think it has.
Oh boy. All right. Well, let's move on to the RNC. The RNC. And let's just talk about our headspace going into Monday, which was when the RNC was going to start last Monday. So we were planning on going on Monday. And then after this, like we said before, we were shell-shocked. We were... like, everything's changed. We want to see what's happening here. We were, like, kind of, like, wary of even getting out there because of the weird experience we had at the rally before the shooting and then this shooting, which we just didn't know where everything was going.
And I should say, like, that this shooting, this rally, it was, like, we were both in this strange headspace where we were thinking about January 6th at the time, too, where it was, like, the second event that we had been at that had gone horribly wrong. And when you're at a place and you're looking at the sights and hearing the sounds, and then those things very soon after, those images, those places are being played on the news as like a large crime scene, it's eerie. Like, you feel like you barely missed being on the wrong side of those, you know, the news cameras, that you could have ended up one of the people hurt or killed there. Like, this is the second time we've had this feeling. So it's like eerie. and we're heading to the RNC with seemingly, like we touched on, like no moment to catch our breath. Donald Trump is at the RNC a day after this is all happening, and us too.
Yeah, it was very, very, very odd. We ended up going there. We watched it, obviously, and we weren't inside, but we talked to people outside of it. But the scene, obviously the big news story is J.D. Vance is the vice presidential pick for Donald Trump. We'll get into more on J.D. Vance in a second. But we got there and we're like, oh, this is a little weird that we came here. How are we feeling? Just like we hadn't filmed since then. It felt like weeks, but it was really days. And we start filming, and immediately when you're doing an interview, Ted Cruz walks on the other side of a fence.
Within the first 30 seconds of the first interaction.
10 feet of me. And we have quite a history with Ted Cruz. We have, you know, in 2016, we did some pranks with him. We tried to perform an exorcism on him.
He was a scene partner of ours several times.
Three times then, and then another two times, I guess, in 2022. And
but he's a fan.
He's a fan.
Explain why.
Oh, he loves us. Yeah. He loves us. Well, wait, why?
Jason asked for an autograph on the cover of the National Enquirer where Donald Trump accused his father of helping to kill JFK. And you asked for an autograph of that. And he almost did. But then he paused and he said, I know you. I know your silly videos. So for us,
not a friend.
Kind of not a friend. Well, depends how you take it.
Yeah, and if you've seen our live show, there is an interaction with a certain professional wrestler in there, turned politician. And if you haven't seen the live show, you should come see the live show. But I tried to like do a similar thing that I do in the live show, and he definitely remembered me and recognized me and did not think it was very funny. And I have
also
to say,
a fan?
No, not a fan. I'd say also decidedly not a fan. He was very strong. He was very strong.
Well, speaking of wrestling, speaking of the RNC, the RNC started with a bunch of speakers that were, people of color, a lot of people of color the first night. It was almost felt like the Republican Party wanted to signal that they were broadening their tent and wanted to broaden their coalition. It seemed like a very, what's the word I'm looking for? Intentional kind of move. It was an intentional move by them. Amber Rose spoke that night, right?
Amber Rose, yep. Yeah.
And
reached
so
out to see if she'd want to do an interview, but
too bad.
No luck.
But it seemed like a very intentional thing that was happening, that the party wanted to signal that like more people should come join. People that maybe weren't thinking of voting Republican should feel at home voting Republican. And then by the end of the RNC, Hulk Hogan is speaking, ripping his shirt off. Famously, who's had a hard time being in the public eye since he was recorded using some, to put it mildly, racially insensitive language.
Racist, downright racist.
N-word.
He said the N-word.
So we start the RNC by trying to bring people in, and Trump is like measured in the things that he's saying. His granddaughter's up there saying, you know, Donald Trump, like, he might seem like one thing to you, but to me, he's just grandpa. Something along those lines that she said. You're like, wow, they are really softening the image here. They're really trying to bring people in. By the end of it, it's Hulk Hogan ripping his shirt off. Full
and I will say, idiocracy. Here's the thing. That first night when Trump came out and he looked like he was like almost genuinely touched by everything. I was like, I had a moment where I'm like, let's see what happens here. Like,
you wanted to pull Van Jones before. And be like, tonight he became president.
Now this is the day that Donald Trump truly became president. He, you think, because you never know what's going to happen, you know, a near-death experience like that.
Because you never know.
That'd be wild. You never know, folks. No, and this is so true. It's so true.
This is so true. You never know.
That's why the dishwashers are using too much water, folks. Everyone says
science doesn't even know.
So But I think it became clear that he was not a changed man. And I want to...
But it was those four days that were incredible. It was the switch of those 4 days. Because I think you couldn't help, if you were following things, you couldn't help but be like, is he changed? Is the party embracing a change? And really trying to actually speak to unity. And by 4 days later, it was like they were more... You had jumped the shark harder than you would have thought possible. And it took 4 days to like not only get back there, but come even more full circle.
Well, let's play this this clip from former WWF, WCW world champion Hulk Hogan.
A lot of W's there.
A lot of W's. Let's play this clip, and I'm going to say how this personally affected me negatively in more ways than one, and financially as well. It actually hurt me financially.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so let's play this. This is Hulk Hogan at the Republican National Convention.
When they took a shot at my hero, and they tried to kill the next president of the United States.
Ripping this shirt off.
He's ripping his over t-shirt off and revealing a MAGA t-shirt, but he couldn't get all the way through that
t-shirt. Let Trumpomania make America great again.
A couple of questions. One, yeah. How did this affect you emotionally? I know that you just have a lot of emotions wrapped up into wrestling. When wrestling and politics collide, it must be emotional for you. But number two, you said this affected your wallet. I want to know how this affects you financially.
Well, which one do you want first? Because you said you gave me two questions there.
I would like them in the order asked. And you know, that makes sometimes sense. If they end up being intertwined, I'm okay if it becomes one answer. But go ahead.
Look, Hulk Hogan, I've already kind of like made peace with like Hulk Hogan not being the coolest dude in the world after looking up to him, even though I was more of an Ultimate Warrior guy when I was a kid. Who is actually objectively worse.
Exactly.
God rest his soul.
Guy. Oh, got it.
He's worse. He says some very homophobic, terrible things. But he's dead. He's dead.
Egg
he's
on
dead.
My face. I had no idea. I haven't
you had no idea.
Followed
Can you
me.
Believe that big guy on steroids acting like he's on cocaine is dead?
Yeah.
So emotionally it hurts that the Hulkster would take a side here. One, because he just launched a new beer that he's like, it's going to be a beer for all Americans. I'm so
sure
sick of the divide, brother.
I'm sure you'll tell us what
it's called. I'm not name dropping this unless they pay for a sponsorship.
Got it.
And I don't remember. The other thing is, I'm just going to add it back to the stage here so we can see this. This shirt that he's wearing, this shirt, is that zooming in? That shirt, I bought a version of that with you at that wrestling store.
It looks a little familiar.
I got an actual vintage one from WrestleMania 7 that has the Hulkster on the cover with the American flag. The storyline here was that Sergeant Slaughter became an Iraqi sympathizer and loved Saddam Hussein.
I'm
going to
go use the bathroom real quick while
Get
you
out
tell
of here.
The story. All right.
This is going to be quick. Be quick. So the moral of that story is I spent over $100 on this shirt, which was actually a good deal looking at what it's being sold for.
Okay,
you gotta look at,
all
the,
right.
you gotta look at the street value. The street
Jason
value.
Jason says it was actually a good deal. It was a good deal. Okay.
And now I can't wear the shirt. One, because it's like it's
well,
the
it's
same
a good
shirt.
Deal. You gotta get a good deal on a shirt when you come across a shirt.
My father would be deal. Very disappointed if he hears that I spent over $100 on a t-shirt. But I can no longer wear that. It was because he wore it on stage at the RNC, a similar shirt. His new shirt with the same design.
I think you can, Jason. I know no. you're what it. If you were gonna wear it before because you're a fan of wrestling and it reminds you of a certain time, I don't know that this would change it.
It does because it's so immediate, in my opinion. Like I didn't feel great about having the Hulkster just because of his terrible things that he did like a whole image repair thing. And, you know, this was over a decade ago and all this stuff. It seemed like he was like. Totally now like a new
kind of
man
back
and he came back he was doing appearances again after he was like exiled from WWE, but But now to like prove that, it seems like going on stage endorsing somebody who was like Mexicans are rapists is not, and saying the very fine people on both sides, it's not the best deal for your image, I guess.
Right. You think he backslid a little bit. He lets some of his demons come out again. Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
So we're at the RNC and you're seeing Hulk up there and you're thinking, this is her going to hurt my wallet. This shirt is not worth as much anymore. Another thing, I took a hit at the RNC, and you may remember this, but I learned that I am going straight to heck.
Yes. Yeah, we talked to a street preacher outside of there. I mean, he was part of a group. It wasn't like Westboro Baptist Church, but they had some very, very mean signs there. Yeah. I can actually show you the picture of this right now. I think I can get that queued up.
So are you going to pull up a picture of the guy with the picture of heaven and hell on his sign?
You better believe it.
So the rough thing was that, like, I don't know where I'm going after I die. Is it heaven or is it heck? I don't know. But some people do. Some people are sure that they know. And you were able to speak to somebody who like had a pretty clear idea what happens if you don't accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Such a clear idea that he had pictures of it. He knew actually what heaven looked like and what hell looked like.
And here it is. Here's Jason
with the gentleman. It says on the sign, life after death, where will you spend eternity? And the top half of it is a beautiful golden almost kingdom with a rainbow, and above the clouds it says with Jesus, and below it is someone literally burning in hell. And Jason, you're doing the pose of the person burning in hell.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah. And yeah. So it was hard for me to learn that I'm definitely going to hell. And I can't believe I'm cursing so much. I was going to stick with heck, but
yeah, you ruined your bit. Yeah. But the other thing that he said is that you need to have not only a circumcised penis, but you need to have a circumcised heart. It says that in the Bible, which is, I didn't know.
You could do a lot of damage to the heart if you tried to circumcise it, but that's just my opinion. So we touched on it earlier, but by the end of the RNC, this assassination attempt seemed like such distant history.
Yes.
It was shocking.
It was interesting because Donald Trump started his speech and he started with a teleprompter and talking about how he survived a bullet and it was divine intervention and God had a part in this and it was almost religious. And then he ditches the teleprompter about 40 minutes into it, ends up doing an hour and a half speech that is just like rambling and just absolutely the opposite of what you would think they would try and do with this moment.
What they tried to do was probably what was written, and then what Donald Trump did was what he said.
I need to talk about? I need to talk about squirrels for a little bit. Yeah. Squirrels.
What are they doing?
Why do they do what they do? Why are their tails like that? Nobody knows. Nobody knows.
So fast.
They love nuts, anyway, though. They love them.
They love them. A big result of this convention, as you said, was J.D. Vance being selected as the nominee for vice president.
And he's been out there. He's been out there this week. Good decision?
Just real quick, do you think that's a smart decision? Does it make sense? People have different opinions on that.
No, I don't. I don't. I think it's a bad decision. One, because he's from Ohio, first-term senator, never passed anything, is an author, I don't think he does anything to the ticket other than Donald Trump, I think, was like, I'm going to win. This guy will definitely certify the results of an election I don't win. He will do it.
Right.
And
he couldn't have another Mike Pence situation. And that's why there was this like little moment where I thought after the assassination attempt, is he going to pick Nikki Haley?
Yeah.
And definitely win this election? But it was very quickly snuffed out as it was clear. He was like, no, I just need somebody who's going to listen to everything that I say.
Now, I want to play this video of him at a campaign event this week, and I want to decide if I want to, okay, let's just play the video, and I have a theory about all this, and I'm excited to share with you this theory, because I think I'm right. There's reporting.
To share with you this theory. That's so formal, and I appreciate it. This
and I
like
hope
a
that
real
you will
theory. And
share
I hope
that,
that
excitement
you will
with me.
That theory.
It is the weirdest thing to me. Democrats say that it is racist to believe. Well, they say it's racist to do anything. I had a Diet Mountain Dew yesterday, and one today. I'm sure they're going to call that racist too, but it's good. I love you guys. What?
That's the part that gets me. Yeah, I love you guys.
I love you guys.
I love you guys. We are here having a good time.
We're having fun, and I'm nervously laughing so much. There's another video too of all of his nervous laughs throughout the whole thing. So that was his police clap moment. He reminded me more of Jeb Bush than anyone there, where he's just like so uncomfortable on stage. And you just know Donald Trump now is really debating his decision. Or he's not. He's just looking at himself in the mirror and thinking he's God. But I have a theory here. So a lot of the reporting with this is, you know, it was Marco Rubio, Doug Burgum, or it was going to be J.D. Vance. And Don Jr. was really, really pushing for J.D. Vance. Don Jr. was doing it. And let me just pull this up one more time. Don Jr. is pulling for a guy that looks like this. He's got dark hair and a beard and wearing a red tie and kind of trying to act like Trump.
Yeah.
Why do you think Don Jr. was trying to get his dad to love someone?
I'm looking at the man
exactly.
in the
mirror. So this is like Don Jr. I think this is Don Jr.'s plan to be like, just get his dad to love him finally, or at least show him affection. Maybe he loves him. I don't know.
Right.
I doubt it.
He's going to be able to, he feels like he's going to be nearby. He's going to absorb some of that love. You know, J.D. Vance is the only member of
Can I finish my theory?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I thought that was the theory that he wanted
that
to
get
his father's
theory,
love. Okay.
But here's the punchline. So now because of this, I think Don Jr. has like basically solidified his father's indifference to him, not love for Don Jr. Because J.D. Vance, he's kind of showing he's not ready for primetime right now. And Don Jr. is the guy that pushed him. That might mean Don Jr. is never going to get an I love you from Donald Trump Sr.
Ever. It backfired. This is one of those all-time backfires.
Yes.
You want your father's love, but you convince... This is a story as old as time. You want your father's love, but you convince him to have a certain person join their presidential ticket.
Yep.
And then when that backfires, your father's love is then withheld for eternity.
It's basically the plot of Hamlet.
Every movie.
That's not the plot of Hamlet.
Did you know that's a great theory, and it's quite possible. And the tragedy of Don Jr. continues.
Yes.
Did you know that I think it's in the last 70 some years, he's the only member of any party's major ticket with facial hair?
Yes, I did know that.
But my theory, let's see if you can follow this.
Okay.
My theory is that all of them, the men, have had facial hair. They've just been removing it. They've been shaving it off.
Interesting.
So,
wow.
So he's actually not the only one. Yeah, he's actually not the only one in my theory with facial hair. He's just the only one who's not shaving it off.
I did not shave today. So how about that?
That's great.
Yeah.
So you could back it up. When you shave it, it's gone. So
then it's gone.
You didn't.
Then it's gone. So J.D. Vance, winner or loser? Winner or loser, Devon? You got to pick one. Winner or loser?
Loser. I would have said last week, I said 75% chance that they win. Now I think it's a little under 50. How do you squander an assassination attempt with your image? You have to be so hateable to not absorb some of the positive bump from like what Trump went through. And I think like Trump not playing his cards right and seeming to just be the same old, and then selecting J.D. Vance, I think they squandered the goodwill they would have gotten in like such a major way. And I know we're going to get to Kamala soon, okay, but there's a poll I'm going to bring up when we get to her that kind of might prove my point a little bit. So we can touch on that later. But I think loser, okay. I think loser, just by a hair.
I think winner.
What do you think?
I think winner. I'm just kidding. Still I'm just being a contrarian. I think not a prediction, but it would be funny if Donald Trump picks somebody else later this week. And he's like, actually, I haven't decided yet. One of you two is going to be it. And they're like, is like a runoff for it.
They have to do like a ninja warrior, yeah, like kind of competition for it, or?
Yeah. Where does it say you can't have two? Where does it say?
Where does it say? What if one of them is on the bottom of the trench coat and the other one is on the top?
Okay, major historical event number two. I'm not counting Hulk Hogan or J.D. Vance. On Sunday, Joe Biden released a statement on X announcing that he was dropping out of the 2024 presidential race, and he endorsed his vice president, Kamala Harris, to be the Democratic nominee. How are you feeling when that happened? What was your response in your mind?
Well, it seemed like it was kind of inevitable. Although I have to say I was genuinely felt this like feeling of shock. I didn't expect to when it actually happened, when Biden actually announced that he was dropping out. Like, it felt inevitable, but at the same time, you just think politics and the way that it moves so glacially sometimes. And that, like, these unexpected things, like, we have not seen something like that in our lifetimes. It's hard to be like, oh, this is definitely happening, even though I felt it was. So it felt like a genuine surprise, even though it shouldn't have. And Kamala was kind of the only choice. People were saying, people rightfully would have felt like, what the fuck? She's qualified. She's the vice president. How would this not be the natural person to take over the ticket? Nevertheless, you can't just anoint somebody who didn't win the primaries, right? So that in some ways, the convention could still hold surprises if people try and do something. She's not officially the nominee. So how did I feel? All of those things. We're still in it, but it seems like the party has tried to like appear organized, pick her, and run with her.
My feeling was with after the debate with Joe Biden this last month, I've been feeling so sad about it, like in a way that I can't really describe, just because it felt so tragic with Joe Biden, who was able to like come out of retirement and run for president and kind of be the comeback kid and won the nomination and then beat Donald Trump, who, is denying the election results and mishandling COVID and just all this terrible stuff. And he was able to be like this guy and do it.
Yeah.
And he really just felt the need to run again, I believe, because Donald Trump was going against him. And he's like, I'm the only guy who's beaten him. And he's clearly lost a step. And the debate performance was like, I don't think there's any coming back from that. But he wanted to be able to do that. And he kept trying and kept trying. And it made me very, very sad, because I do think he is a good man. He has a good character. And, he's the complete opposite of Donald Trump in that he cares about people other than himself.
Right.
And he's ultimately been in a selfless thing.
Yeah. And he's been in this in politics for like 54 years or something. This was not like a Donald Trump type situation where he was attracted to power and came in and couldn't let go. Like, this has been his entire life is dedicated to public service, whether or not you think his ego is what was keeping
him
in.
I did that.
You were saying that if he did stay in and Donald Trump won, that Joe Biden could say, guess what?
I did that.
People thought Donald Trump couldn't win.
I did that.
No,
but folks, seriously.
That's not happening.
Well, anyway.
Anyway. Did a lot of anyways near the end. I like when you think about the two of those people next to each other, Donald Trump, who still won't concede the 2020 election, and someone who could have hung on to like the most powerful office in the world and decided not to, they just couldn't be more different people. I mean, no matter how you look at the situation, to me, I think you see that he's doing the right thing. What do you think would have happened? if he would have been tackled by four Secret Service agents.
He would have crumbled. He would have crumbled.
That would have been sad.
That would have been sad. That would have been sad. It was, he's obviously very frail now, but he's old and he's given his whole life to politics. I can't imagine, like, he's gone through so many elections. I'd love to know how many elections, including primaries he's been through, you know, lots of presidential primaries, including, and then he ran for Senate. He's been, you know, vice president, two election cycles as vice president, then one and a half as the presidential nominee, and then all the way through. So thank you, Joe Biden. I think it's the right thing to do. Served his country for a long time, and I was moved by it. I was happy and moved by it too.
And we weren't the only ones. Mike Pence said that he thought Joe Biden did the right thing for his country, but nobody gives a shit what Mike Pence
did. He say that?
Yeah, he did. But he's not. Nobody cares. You know?
Whatever happened to Mike Pence?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. What happened?
What was his deal?
So anyway, Biden drops out. Kamala is in. This assassination attempt on Trump. And to me, I'm thinking, like, this is it. This is over. And that just shows my naivete as far as how fast things could possibly move.
Wait, what's over? What are you saying?
So I'm thinking that the election's over. Donald Trump has survived this assassination attempt to finally, you know, pumping his fist, the photograph of the century. And then a few short days later, there is polling, you know, after Biden has dropped out, that says this. I know polls are dumb, but in a two-way race, this is a Reuters poll, Ipsos, is that how you say it? Reuters Ipsos poll. Two-way, Kamala Harris 44%, Donald Trump 42%. Three-way race, Kamala Harris 42%, Donald Trump 38%, RFK Jr. 8%. So I looked it up to see if it was real, if that's what you're doing.
Yes.
I looked up Reuters. I found a Reuters article that said, it said the top part of this. It said the summary of the article said that Kamala Harris is beating Donald Trump 44% to 42% in their head-to-head poll. So I don't know. It feels like there's some enthusiasm. She has raised $100 million in the first 36 hours since Biden withdrew.
Is like, yeah, which is impressive, but it's also like really rich people were not giving money to Biden. And then in 24 hours, they gave all the money back.
Well, part of the stat was something about how many small donors it was, but I'm sure your point is mostly true. There's a lot of rich people who are withholding, but I guess
I've got a lot of text messages from her.
Yeah,
well, she and likes. She likes me. She always sends a picture of herself first.
I don't know what that's about. I get a lot of emails from. I was getting a lot of emails from Joe Biden. Now I'm getting a lot of emails from Kamala Harris. No idea why, but. I guess the shock of how slow things feel like they move in politics and how quickly all of this, the events of the last, you know, several days, just such huge events, all of this to say, if this poll isn't even close to correct, it's still like neck and neck. And this is by no means over at all, either direction. There's, you know, 3 months left to go. And we have no idea what's going to happen.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not going to pretend to know. I don't know. I mean, it's like, it's the thing now is Donald Trump is obviously, you know, I think we both agree on this, that he's the worst presidential candidate in the history of the nation. And he's the only person
probably
who's ever denied elections.
Probably pretty fun to have a beer with, though.
I don't think so. He doesn't drink.
Me neither. That's what I was going to say.
Maybe to have a Diet Coke with me and play a round of golf. Maybe play a round of golf.
But I don't even know. I mean, the stuff you'd say.
My point is, I think it's like he is, Joe Biden was going against Donald Trump and Joe Biden couldn't get the sentences together. He couldn't get the words together. He couldn't read from the teleprompter. And now there's somebody, and like Democrats are so excited now because there's somebody who gets up on stage and you're not holding your breath the whole time.
Right.
They're speaking.
I think that's great. Relate to that. Yeah. I just 4 years ago, I was holding my breath during these debates. Now it's just unbearable. And she's like excited to speak and excited to debate and to win. And so, yeah, I feel that sense of relief.
It's been a wild couple weeks, DeVrom.
Yeah.
We gotta have some truth here. We now have Kamala Harris versus Donald Trump. This is the election. At least that's what it looks like now. Who knows what the aliens are gonna say in a week when they get here, or I guess next weekend.
Or the people of the Atlantis like underwater city. We don't know.
It could be something else. It could be Bigfoot related. We don't know. So can we have a moment of truth here?
So a moment of truth here. We've talked through all of these dramatic, traumatic events to happen over the last few days. This was a really wild few days, a real roller coaster, if you will.
Sure.
From the assassination attempt to the discussion around political rhetoric, the selection of J.D. Vance as VP at the RNC, someone who'd called Trump possibly America's Hitler. You can't make any of this stuff up. And to Biden dropping out of the race and Kamala taking the reins. The truth is that nobody has a plan. There's no plan. There's no amount of money or intelligence that can predict what's going to happen. There's no adult in the room, let alone several months from now on election day. Anybody that tells you they know what's going to happen is lying. So with that in mind, just keep listening to The Good Liars Tell the Truth up until the election.
USA. America.
You just turned the moment of truth into like a plug for a show, an ad. Like that's like an ad. People didn't even know they were listening to an ad. They thought they were going to get some truth here.
No, it's not an ad. It's
unbelievable.
Okay, then you do it.
Okay, I will.
What you gonna do when all the little Good Liars maniacs run wild on you, dude?
Run wild on you is a really funny thing to say. Yeah, I guess it was a little bit of a plug, but it's because we took a little time off and we're back, Jason. And I really do want to bring this podcast to people as the election heats up, as this roller coaster happens. If the aliens come, if the people of Atlantis rise from the ocean and vote in this election, we'll be talking about it.
That's true, DeVrom. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to piss on your parade there.
Is that what you were doing? Gross.
Well, that was a great moment of truth, DeVrom. Thank you. We want to thank you for joining us here. And guess what? If you want to support us, you can support us on Hero Hero. It is a brand new, it's new to the United States, really. A new website. It's like Patreon, but it's just $5 a month. You're supporting us. You're helping us go to all these terrible, terrible places like the RNC. And we're going to be out there more and more this year. So you can join us on Hero Hero, herohero.co/thegoodliars. DeVrom, anything else you want to plug personally before you get into your words of wisdom here?
Yeah, sure. I used to make leather wallets. It was just a hobby of mine. I would sew them. So I'm thinking of starting up a little Etsy business. I just want to remind everybody, when you do see those up for sale, what?
Can I tell everyone about your notebooks?
My notebook.
You're like a workout, your trainer, personal trainer notebooks?
I don't really remember much about them. Yes, go ahead.
you gave me these notebooks. It was like a little notebook. And you had them for like you were trying to be a personal trainer at some point, I think. And you like used rubber cement on all the pages that like bled through. You'd like put on these like little work, everything was glued together. And it was like inspirational quotes, but like you couldn't open the notebook.
I remember. It was like you would be flipping through to write down like your workouts and there would be like inspirational stuff halfway through, but it was all
hey,
glued
you're
together.
Doing great. DeVrom.
You're doing great. All right. We don't, no need to make fun of me anymore. Okay.
But I want to say something. I have a personal thing to say. If anybody's in the market for a really great vintage WrestleMania 7 shirt, I am selling one for just $200.
Whoa.
$200 plus shipping and handling. Please send us a message, thegoodliarspod@gmail.com. Do the Good Liars Podcast at gmail.com. We can talk through, and if you want to do a counter offer, you're more than welcome to. I prefer if you went up on the counter offer. That would ensure that you had this WrestleMania shirt.
So you get the shirt, yeah.
So before we go, DeVrom, before we wrap this up, do you have any words of wisdom for the listeners?
I do. You don't have to show up to every argument you're invited to.
Oh.
Something to keep in mind in these times of political division.
That's great. I actually like that one, DeVrom. All right. Good job.
Okay.
Put that in your inspiration book. All right. Thanks for joining us on The Good Liars Tell the Truth. We'll see you next time. My tongue is not doing great right now.
Bye-bye.
Bye.